Psalm 24, the earth is not neutral. Psalm 24 opens with a claim that quietly dismantles modern assumptions. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. New International Version. Not the religious parts of life, not Sunday, not my private spirituality, but everything. In the ancient world, this was not a warm devotional thought. It was a direct challenge to the gods of territory. Nations imagined land belonged to a deity who secured it by violence. Israel sings the opposite. The world belongs to the Lord because he made it, not because he seized it. The poem even places creation on the seas, verses 1 to 2, echoing the ancient fear of chaotic waters. Archaeology and texts from Israel's neighbours show the sea as a rival power to be subdued by a storm god. Psalm 24 refuses that story. The Lord does not merely fight chaos, he foundations the world over it. The chaos is not his equal, it is his flaw. So the first test of worship is not emotion, but ownership. If the earth is his, then my life is not mine to manage like private property. Stewardship is not a side topic. It is the first verse. Clean hands, pure heart. A temple question that becomes a life question. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Verse 3. This is temple language. Pilgrims going up to Zion, but notice how the entry requirements are not ritual techniques. They are moral reality. Clean hands, naki kapim, and a pure heart, bar levav. Hands are what you do. Heart is what you want. Israel is taught to fear a split life, beautiful worship with dirty fingerprints. Then comes a strange phrase, who does not lift up his soul to an idol? Verse 4. In Hebrew, the lifting is like carrying something upward. Idols are not only statues, they are false weights you hoist into the center of your being. The psalm asks, what have you been elevating that cannot hold you? And it pairs idolatry with swearing deceitfully, as if to say, false gods always produce false speech. We become what we worship. Cross-references for slow prayer. Matthew 5, 8, James 4, 8, Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. The gates that must learn to sing. Verses 7 to 10 likely functioned as a call and response at Jerusalem's gates, those massive entrances where elders judged cases and commerce was decided. City gates were not just architecture, they were power centres. And the psalm commands them, lift up your heads, that the King of Glory may come in. New International Version. Gates don't have heads, unless the poet is aiming at more than stone. The heads are the city's authority, its pride, its self-protection. The Lord does not ask permission. He commands an expansion. Make room for weighty glory. Early Christians heard this as more than temple liturgy. Many church fathers read it as Christ's ascension, heaven's gates answering, who is this King of Glory? Not because heaven is ignorant, but because glory invites witness. God is not threatened by the question. He loves to be named truthfully. Suggested hymn, lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Georg Weissel. Also listen to Handel's Messiah, lift up your heads. Prayer. Lord of all the earth, undo my small idea of ownership. Wash my hands where my actions have compromised my worship, and purify my heart where my desires have been divided. Expose the false weights I have lifted up, and teach me to speak without deceit. Lift the gates in me, my pride, my fear, my need to control, so the King of Glory may enter and reign. In Jesus Christ, strong and mighty. Amen.